Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Bergen County. This is John Insulin, a reporter for The Record. I cover county government and politics for the paper, and I'm here to welcome you on this chilly day. It's all of 19 degrees outside the Record Talk Radio studios, and it's kind of snow-covered. But we've got an interesting and warm program for you ahead for the next half hour. We'll be talking today to two of my colleagues on the business desk, Kathleen Lynn and Hugh Morley. They've been covering the news this week about Mercedes-Benz departing from its corporate offices in Montvale and relocating to the Metro Atlanta area. So we'll be talking to them about that major story. But we also have an interview that I pre-recorded earlier this week with Steve Tinelli. He's the currently elected as the vice chairman of the Freeholder Board and the chair of the County Parks Department. Steve will have some interesting things to say about the county parks system. Before we get going here today, I would like to let you know about some upcoming programs. A week from today, the broadcast will feature an interview with Freeholder John Felice, a Republican freeholder who was recently tapped by the Democrats as their budget chairman for the year ahead. So that should be an interesting conversation. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be talking to Republican freeholder Maura DiNicola. So stay tuned to the Bergen Beat blog for more details on those programs. Well, let's get things rolling by playing the interview I did. This was on Wednesday with Steve Tinelli. It's about 12 minutes long, and let's listen in. All right, Steve Tinelli, welcome to Record Talk Radio. It's good to have you back again. The last time I think you were on the show, you were candidate Steve Tinelli, and now here you are vice chairman of the Freeholder Board.
Thank you very much for having me, John. Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, and of course, lots happened since we talked last. I want to talk directly about some of your responsibilities as freeholder. You've been the chair of the Parks Committee. In fact, I believe you're going to continue doing that in this year ahead. What are some of the big issues facing Bergen County Parks these days?
I think most of the things that are going on with parks are all great positive things. I mean, our parks, if you look at any given time in most of our park facilities, you'll see age ranging from infants to senior citizens on our walk paths, and the fields, most of the fields are in tremendous shape, so we have a lot of ball playing going on in the fields. I think what you're seeing now is that there's a demand. So now one of the issues that we have now is we have to be very diligent in our scheduling and in the maintenance of these facilities. My hope is to continue to expand recreation opportunities and keep building these venues. One thing that I'm very big on trying to do is I certainly would love to see a boathouse at Overpeck County Park. I know people are reading a lot about the rowing. The sport of rowing is growing, right. And the opportunities for our children are, it's just unbelievable with scholarships and other avenues for them to be able to get a great education at the next level. I think the only next step is for us to follow the lead of some of the counties down south and provide a boathouse in conjunction with some of the colleges that are interested in possibly using that facility at a full-time basis.
Describe it a little bit. I mean, what do you envision? A boathouse for people that do rowing or canoeing or what?
Well, I think a boathouse, a multi-use facility that most of the high schools could utilize, where they store their boats at the facility. I mean, one of the big things is the logistics of getting boats to and from the facility. So I know some of the southern facilities actually have storage units built onto the boathouse, and it's an expandable opportunity where you don't have to build it all at once. You can build it as you need it. The other thing is some of the colleges want these facilities because they'd like to be able to have it as a venue to hold large events, banquet hall type of thing. You know, some of the colleges, they hold a lot of their these events are so large, they need to have a place where people can eat and a place
sure.
where people could be entertained. So,
how would you pay for something like that?
That's what we're working on in the upcoming year or two, is to find financing for it. It's probably going to more than likely be a private and public venture.
Okay.
That hasn't been figured out yet, but we are we are talking to a lot of the colleges. The colleges are very interested, so it might be something where the college really comes in and helps financially.
Great. I'm glad you brought that up because, as you know, a couple of weeks ago, the Teaneck Rowing Club came in. They wanted to have a very similar deal than to the one that the board approved for. Was it the Bergen
Rowing Association?
Bergen County Rowing Association. What are your thoughts on that?
I know that they both coexist as we speak now. I'm not quite sure what direction the county executive is going to, because I know all those that paperwork is being reviewed. Their proposal is being reviewed. None of that has been presented to me yet.
Sure.
So I think as much as we can do on the river, on the Passaic River, on the Overpeck River, we do.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as extending another contract, I'm not sure. I'd like to get a recommendation from county council as to how that would work.
Okay, good. Hey, last summer I wrote about an initiative Parks Director Ron Kistner undertook where he introduced on a trial basis the food trucks, which have been very popular in this area of late. I'm wondering, from what you've seen or heard about that experience, what do you think about it? Did it work? Is it something the county should encourage or pursue?
I attended both of them, and it was very difficult to even get into the park. It was so well received. So,
that's the good problem, I guess.
Absolutely. So there were a lot of initiatives over my 2 years as the park chair that were put in place that were very, very successful.
Mm-hmm.
I can't recall, to tell you the truth, I can't recall one that wasn't successful.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the events that were held at Overpeck were spectacular. So that, I would love to see that be continued.
All right. So for the foodies who are listening, they should expect more of the same?
Absolutely.
All right. Good. Now, I mentioned at the top of the show, you're now the vice chairman of the Freeholder Board. Now, I know from a past experience that means that when Joan Voss is out of town or can't make the meeting, you will chair the meeting. But is there something more to that job than just that?
Well, for me, it's that's part of the job as well, is to support the chair. But also, for me, it's important that now I will be taking part in the preparation of the agenda. So I'll have much more input in the initial stages of the agenda process. It'll just let me continue to conduct myself like I have as a freeholder. I've had meetings with many department heads when there were issues with constituents in Bergen County. I conduct quite a few meetings with department heads and those people to resolve the issues so that we can get right to the bottom of it versus emails, phone calls.
Right.
I'd just rather get everybody in a room, find out what the issues are, and try and resolve them.
Okay, good. In today's paper, the front page story is, of course, Mercedes-Benz leaving Bergen County to move their headquarters to Atlanta. First off, what's your reaction to that? And secondly, is there anything the county could have done differently in this case, do you think?
Well, I think it's a very big loss for Bergen County. It's a big loss for the state of New Jersey. And when I saw it a few weeks ago, I was kind of concerned by the fact that we hadn't heard anything before I read it in the newspaper. I mean, one thing is we have to have a better line of communication with especially the major corporations in Bergen County and in the state of New Jersey, so that if there is an inkling that they want to leave, we have to find out why, and we have to start resolving some of these issues. There's 1,000 people now that are going to be out of work and looking for other jobs that aren't willing to relocate to Atlanta, and that's a major drain on our economy, and it's unfortunate that these families are all going to be affected. I believe that by having a better line of communication and offering some, I don't know what incentives may have worked, but we have to offer some incentives and make it a little more affordable for these companies to stay here.
Okay, good. I notice you and Tracy Zurr are going to be the Transportation Committee in the year ahead, and I gather that's something that's been revived. It was around but not in use much. What do you two figure on doing with the transportation? I mean, so much of that is mandated at the state level. Is there much a freeholder can do to impact transportation?
Well, I believe the one thing is we can express the needs of Bergen County much more clearly and concisely. There's bridges in South Bergen, the Kingsland Bridge. You remember we had a press conference with Senator President Sweeney talking about, and Senator Sarlo talking about the need for the replacement of that bridge. That's just one instance where, you know, we have to start shedding light on some of these problems. I mean, we all know about the problem on 17. Going from Paramus to Hackensack, I drive it every day both ways, and you know, we all know that there's a problem there, but nobody ever wants to address it or find a possible solution. You know, these are the things that I think Tracy and I can bring and shine the light on some issues that are specific to Bergen County, and maybe if we bang the drum a little bit harder, we'll get them to recognize that we need some funding to resolve some of these things. And I think we have the right person across the hall in our new county executive, who's all through his campaign talked about light rail and working on transportation in Bergen County, and I think together we'll be able to figure out some of these issues.
Okay. How much do you think that person across the hall, Jim Tedesco, is going to make a difference in your day-to-day work as a freeholder?
Well, working with Jim for the past year already on the freeholder board, having somebody that's run one of the largest revenue-producing towns in Bergen County as their mayor, sitting on the freeholder board, watching him work the budget, I believe we have somebody that understands how to run government and how government is supposed to operate. So I'm very confident that we work great together. Jim and I have a lot of similarities in ideas, and we're not going to agree on everything, but I can sit at his desk and we can come up with an idea together that we can both live with, and that's the key.
All right, a couple other things. You are up for re-election this year. You and Tracy, sir, both. Are you running?
Yes, I am running.
All right. What do you anticipate will be the big issues this time around?
Well, this issue was the same issue that we had back 2 years ago. It's just a little bit closer, and that's Bergen Regional Medical Center.
Right.
That contract is coming up, so in the next few years, something's going to have to be decided on how that's going to continue to operate. Obviously, we're not selling the building, but we do need somebody that's going to be more cooperative with Bergen County to run the facility if that's the direction we go. And obviously, this contract was a noose around Bergen County's neck since it was signed, so that needs to be reviewed.
Okay, good. I asked Tracy this the other day. What are some things that you found in your first term that surprised you about being a freeholder? Or were there any things that surprised you about being a freeholder?
I wasn't really surprised about anything. Having been elected for a little over 9 years in a town like North Arlington that faced a lot of the issues, believe it or not, a lot of the issues that I faced on the county level have been very similar to the issues that I faced in North Arlington. The only thing that I guess if you want to say I was surprised, I didn't realize just how many areas get flooded in Bergen County.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Coming from South Bergen, you think that Wellington, Garfield, North Arlington, Lyndhurst, and Rutherford, you know, when you're in an area, as long as I've been, you don't hear of the floodings in Westwood, and
sure,
you don't hear about some of the other areas, so in Saddlebrook. So that, I guess if you're going to say surprised is when you think of flooding, you think of it more down south. You don't think of up north.
I did notice that you're continuing to serve as the liaison to the, what is it called, the Flood Committee?
Yes.
What are your hopes for that group this year?
Well, what I tried to do when I had asked to be part of that on the board was I tried to bring a more regional approach versus a local approach. And we all have to understand that there's only so many professionals from the state and federal level. And by taking a more regional approach, we can bring those professionals together in a larger venue where they can address more people than in the more smaller venues, because people were being frustrated when they were contacting the Army Corps of Engineers and congressmen, and they weren't available for their local meetings in their local municipalities.
Okay. Well, there you have it. That was my interview earlier this week with Freeholder Steve Tinelli, the Vice Chairman of the Freeholder Board. You are listening to Record Talk Radio, an ongoing series of conversations with newsmakers and journalists from throughout northern New Jersey. I'm very glad to have on the show right now on the line, Hugh Morley, my colleague at the Record. Hugh, welcome to the program.
Good morning, John. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Great. Hugh is a business reporter for the paper, and he also has the distinction of having covered county government before, and I know from conversations with you that it's sort of deja vu, isn't it, Hugh, sometimes with the people who keep recycling through county government from the period when you covered it to the time when I'm covering it.
That certainly is the case. In fact, I had a laugh this week. I reached out for the county economic development agency, and she informed me that Dom Novelli was the Bergen County administrator now, which I didn't I didn't realize. And when I was covering the county, he was the press secretary for a while, and then he was one of two chiefs of staff for Bergen County executive Pat Schuber. So meet the new boss, same as the old boss, I guess, for some county employees there.
Right. You tell us a bit about your job. What is your beat specifically?
I am a business reporter for the records. I am technically a general assignment writer, but which means that I sort of get thrown in as a fireman on breaking stories and general stories that don't fit in other people's beats. I sort of joke that I get the stories that no one else wants to do, but that's just
well, I don't know
my
about
joke.
You.
But I do have a number of beats. One is the regional economy. I cover pretty closely, and the jobs especially. I also cover business from the point of view of Trenton. I cover issues where business and politics and government intersect. And I also cover the courts, so I write a lot of stories about either white-collar crime or corporate lawsuits of different kinds, that especially going through the federal courts and bankruptcies and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you and your colleagues, Linda Moss and Kathy Lynn, had an interesting set of stories this week regarding the imminent departure of Mercedes-Benz USA from their corporate headquarters in Montvale. You may have heard Freeholder Tonelli talking about how he wished they'd known about that sooner than before reading it in the paper. But, after reading your stories this week, I wondered to myself, really, is there anything any public official, from a freeholder to a governor, could have said or done that would have resulted in a different outcome here?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you there. The state's been fairly tight-lipped about what they did or when they knew. But it does sound like, although a lot of us, certainly in the media, we certainly heard rumors in the fall, but we didn't know anything concrete until the last few weeks, I guess. But as far as I can gather, the state did know maybe as far as back as August. And they had a pretty good time to make a pretty decent pitch. And especially, at this time in history, the state is currently embarked on a campaign. A year ago, it revised its incentive programs, which are the corporate tax breaks that are awarded to awarded to companies to keep them from moving out of state or to get them to expand in the state.
Right.
The state has given about $2 billion away so far this year. So I think everyone who's anyone in the business world pretty much knows that if you are thinking of leaving New Jersey, you've got a pretty good case for getting a decent-sized corporate tax break. And so if you're not going to the state early on, then it's probably, and this is somewhat speculation, it's probably because you pretty much have made up your mind already that New Jersey doesn't have what you want, which from the comments of Mercedes-Benz, they have stated publicly that they, whatever the state could offer financially, it wasn't going to really change their mind because there were other issues that they were interested in.
Right. And that's where you had a really fascinating story this week about the overall picture and about how what's going on here kind of mirrors what started to happen 45 years ago when manufacturing started going south, literally, from North Jersey to relocate with factories down there looking for, less expensive labor. But is it your understanding then that this is sort of happening in the white-collar area as well now?
Well, it's early to say exactly whether it is, but it does appear that may be the case. Mercedes-Benz was the third company to move its HQ out of Bergen County south Hertz went to Florida, and Sealed Air, which was in Elmwood Park, is going to North Carolina, I think. And, you know, we don't know, unless they're high profile, we don't know whether a company goes or not. So there may be other companies alongside those. But so you have those three companies, and I talked to experts, and they certainly gave the impression that the perception of the South has changed significantly. That in the past there was a sense among executives that, well, you know, I'm happy to send my low-paid employees from Bergen County down to some mill town in the South because I'm going to stay up here in the suburbs here in Bergen County as the CEO or the top executive. But now, for a variety of reasons, companies are looking at it and thinking, you know, the South is a lot more attractive for our executives. Plus, we're under a lot more pressure to cut costs and so forth. One expert suggested that's partly due to globalization. And so executives are, more willing to move down there, and B, the environment, the business environment has got better, so it's not such a tough sell. And I guess the other thing that people didn't bring up, but I think is probably an issue, is, you know, with the rise of the internet and all the many communications connections that we have now, it's really not such a big deal to be in Atlanta instead of New Jersey, even if you want to be tied to New York or whatever. You know, you can easily communicate through the internet or through a variety of other methods. And that's why white-collar jobs have moved, you know, to India and countries in the Far East, for the same reason, that you can still just pick up the phone or you can communicate over the internet. So
right. It's why, as you pointed out, these companies are no longer just competing with other places in the metro area, but competing with companies in Brazil or Wales or elsewhere.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's definitely a big issue, too. So it's not, you know, I think I quoted Jim Hughes, the Rutgers economist, saying that it's not a tidal wave yet, but there is clearly a sense that it may be the front end of a wave. And I think, you know, the fact that Mercedes has gone and it's such a high-profile company, it has really woken people up in the way that others didn't. You know, and that's something that the freeholder was saying there. You know, that it's sort of a wake-up call for people that the state has to do something. What it can do, you know, that's a tough question.
Right, because I forget which one of you wrote this, but one of the stories was eye-opening, was even if they had accepted one of the offers from the state of New Jersey, it would have meant relocating to Camden. So either way, Bergen County would be, in some respect, losing out.
Well, that's Bergen County's big problem, really. You know, Bergen is getting battered by a number of trends, and it's not just this move south. You know, there is also a big, sizable trend away from the kind of corporate suburban campuses that New Jersey has thrived on in the past, and Bergen County especially. You know, I'd cite the example of Pearson Publishing, which was up in, I think, Upper Saddle River or Saddle River, and it has it's in the process of moving its HQ to Hoboken and New York. And the underlying trend here is that the younger workers, what they call the millennials, are much more interested in working in cities than the suburbs. I don't know why. It may be because they grew up in the suburbs and they've had enough of the suburbs. But
it may be that the cultural ferment that they want in their lives is kind of an attraction for them. So
yes. I mean, they want, you know, the city and the vibrancy of a city and the restaurants and the entertainment and so forth. And so, you know, a corporate campus out in Bergen County doesn't work so well, because if you can't get the good the top level employees that you need to run your company, then that's a problem. And so the state has recognized this, and a lot of the corporate incentives that are on offer now and which were revamped a year ago are now geared towards getting companies to move into cities and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Mercedes technically could have stayed in Montvale, and they could have got a certain amount of money from the state. But the real big numbers, I think, which would have been at least twice as big, are in Camden, which is the focus of New Jersey's efforts. I mean, it's partly the governor's desire for whatever reason. I don't think we need to get into that. But it's also partly the politics of the fact that a lot of the incentives have gone to northern cities, especially Newark, in the last few years. So now there's a sustained effort to get more money into Camden. So New Jersey did offer to Mercedes-Benz to move down to Camden in the way that Subaru, for instance, has agreed to set up a corporate HQ there, and in return they got $118 million. So,
mm-hmm.
And they were moving, I think, 500 employees there. So, you know, with 800 to 1,000, Mercedes probably could have got more money than that. But as Mercedes said, it wasn't the money. It was the business environment down there. And I think that also, one of the things they said was that, look, this is a 50-year decision. And
right.
We think that we essentially think the South is rising. And so over the 50 years, this is going to really prove it. But I think also that ties into the sort of millennial thing, in the sense that, you know, Atlanta offers more of what they're looking for than certainly Montvale,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps Camden. You know, no matter how many corporate HQs move to Camden, I'm not sure if it's going to be the kind of city that a millennial is looking for with restaurants
and
nightclubs and the arts.
Yeah. No, I know from my own travels, I've been spending some time in Atlanta and Nashville and Charlotte in recent years. These have become fairly sophisticated cities.
Yes, exactly. And that's, you know, that's what the experts that I was talking to were saying, is that they're sort of cosmopolitan, upmarket, and, you know, over the next few years, it's going to be increasingly so. And so maybe there is a big shift there. Now, where that leaves New Jersey and what they can do about it is a tough question, because, you know, those are trends that are not easily reversed.
Mm-hmm. All right, Hugh. Well, that's about all the time we have on the program today. I want to thank you for being our guest and explaining this situation to our listeners.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here, and always glad to come on, and I say hi to all my former Bergen County readers when I was covering
okay.
the county.
If
they're still alive.
They still are. In fact, I'm talking to a lot of them. All right. That's Hugh Morley from the Record.
Thanks a lot, John.
Staff. Thanks, Hugh. And folks,
to
that's
you.
It. For Same here. Folks, that's it for today's program. Remember, next week I'll be doing an interview with freeholder John Felice, and then in 2 weeks, an interview with freeholder Maura DiNicola. Stay warmed and stay tuned. So long.